You know, as I was getting ready for tonight, and even the last couple weeks, as Tony and Matt were preaching, I anytime we enter into a conversation about prayer, I feel the weightiness of it in the room, right? Because the reality is no matter what your prayer life looks like, and there is a broad range in this room of what prayer lives look like, there's nobody in the room that's saying, man, I'm killing it. I feel like I'm really, man, my prayer life, it couldn't get any better than it is right now. Anytime we have a conversation, I've never had a conversation with anybody about prayer. I really thought about this. All the conversation that I've had with people about prayer, I've never had somebody say those things. What happens is there's often this feeling of guilt, this feeling of shame because I don't pray as much as I should, or I don't pray like I should, or I feel like the only thing I do when I'm praying is I'm just asking God for things, or all these things. And so here's what I want us to understand, that it would be easy for the pastors to get up here and to shame you because you already feel shame. That's not the goal here. The goal is, and what Jesus is really trying to do, he's not teaching us a list of things. Stop and think about it. What is it that Jesus is doing here? He's not teaching us a list of things that we should feel guilty about what we're not doing. That's not what he's doing. He's teaching us how to approach the Lord. He's teaching us how to go to him in prayer and what it should look like. And you know, one of the things that I appreciated so much was last week when Matt spent so much time just talking about how we've been given access to the Father. Because I think what will grow out of that when we, you know, see, we could shame you or we could make you feel guilty about how horrible your prayer life is, and then you would leave here and you would try to pray harder and that would last for a little while. But if you can really wrap your mind around the fact that the God of the universe that spoke everything into existence, who reigns and rules over all creation, has invited us into his presence and to be with him, to meet with him, to talk with him, right? That produces something in us whenever we understand that. And so we've been given access to the Father, not just access in any way, but access as a child coming to their Father, as a son or a daughter going to the Father. And one of the things I want to hit on again before we launch into our conversation tonight is that. You know, Jesus is very intentional about this whole conversation. Everything that he does, the order in which he brings things up, the way he begins the prayer. Well, how does he begin the prayer? He begins the prayer by saying, "Our Father who art in heaven," right? "Hallowed be your name." Stop and think about this. So oftentimes, if we're not careful, our prayer lives really can become just a grocery list of things that we want God to do for us, right? If we're not careful, because the truth is we're needy people. We need a lot of things. And we're desperate for him to do whatever it is that we need him to do in our life. But if we're not careful, we only approach him for the things that we need or the things that the people around us need. Jesus does not start like that. Jesus starts with worship. He starts with worship. He leads with a focus of worship. His prayer begins. Stop and think about what's going on here. We're going to get to, God cares about the things that we are to bring before him. He wants us to bring those things before him. He wants us to ask him. We're going to talk about that when Jesus talks about that. But before we ever get there, he's saying prayer should begin with the response to the character and nature of God. That's how prayer should begin. Prayer should begin with praise. Prayer should begin with worship. Prayer should begin with thanksgiving to the character and nature of God, to the fact that we can actually go to him in prayer. That's where it all begins. And so let's just recap. This is on your handout. If you don't have a handout, you can flip to your Bible. We're really only covering just a short little section. So he begins, and we've covered, pray like this then. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then tonight, we're going to build on that where he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And honestly, we're only going to do the first portion of this right here. So we're just going to talk about your kingdom come. Okay? And we're going to focus in. We're going to ask God to help us. And we're going to talk about what this means. I really feel like when you leave here tonight, because if I ask you, like, what does that mean? What is your kingdom come? What does that mean on earth as it is in heaven? What is it that means? Well, let me just frame it in with this. Here's something that's true about everybody in the room. Now, again, it's differing levels. But the truth is we all like to be in control. Now, we may not, some of us like to be in charge, but everybody likes to be in control. Now, you think, well, I don't necessarily need to be in control of everything. I'm not saying you need to be in control of everything, but I'm saying that you like to be in control of something, and you like to be in control of your stuff. That's what you like to be in control of. Your life, your things, like that's what we want. We want to decide. Stop and think about it. We want to decide where we're going. We want to decide when we're going. We want to decide how we're going. We want to decide who we're going with. We want to decide how we're going to spend our money. We want to decide what happens in our home. We want to decide what happens in our church. The list just goes on. We want to decide what's best for our kids. We want to decide what our schedules look like. We want to decide, and the list goes on and on. We want to make our own plans. And then at the end of the day, really what we want is we want to do all those things, and then we want God to bless what we are controlling. Isn't that how it typically works? And then God reminds us that we're not in control. But the reality is if we just get cruising along and we really want to be in control of everything, and then we just want God to bless the things that we are in control of. And so when it comes to the conversation we're having tonight, I don't think this is necessarily a conversation about rebellious people. Like, we just like to rebel. I mean, there may be some of that going on in here tonight, but I think the issue is like we like to be in control. And that's not the blueprint that God has for us. That's not what he wants for you and for me. And so if we're honest, this applies. And so it bleeds into how we approach God. Like, if I went around the room and we passed the microphone around the room and I said, hey, do you believe in Jesus? I'm assuming that most people in the room would say yes, or you wouldn't be here. Not everybody, maybe not everybody, but do you believe in Jesus? Most everybody would say yes. If I asked you, do you love Jesus? Most everybody would say yes. If I asked you, do you worship Jesus? I feel like we'd get the same answer. If I asked you, do you call Jesus Lord? We'd all, mostly for the most part, I believe, be in agreement there. But sometimes what we really want is for Jesus to be Savior without being King. We want him to be Savior without being King. We want Jesus to forgive our sins. We want Jesus to save us from hell, from damnation, from judgment, from being vessels of wrath, right? We want him to save us from those things. We want Jesus to protect our families. We want Jesus to provide our needs. Am I saying anything that isn't true? We want these things. We want Jesus to answer our prayers. But we still want to run the kingdom ourselves. We want him to swoop in and to do these things, but we want to run the kingdom. And when Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, he's teaching us to surrender something we desperately want to hold on to, which is control. We desperately want to hold on to control. But here's the beautiful thing about this. As we launch into this conversation tonight, here's something I want us to understand. That Jesus isn't asking us to surrender control to just anyone. Who's he asking us to surrender control to? That's right. He's asking us to surrender our control to somebody who clearly loves and cares for us, who can be revered, whose name can be revered, that we can trust, that we don't have to question whether or not the Father loves us. That was made clear and continues to be made clear. And so, but here's the question I have. What does it mean? What exactly is this kingdom, praying for the kingdom to come? What does that mean? What does it mean? If you had to define that tonight, what does it mean? What does that look like? How do we practically pray for the kingdom to come? Well, the good news is before we leave tonight, you will have, I didn't hear you, Brian. Before you leave tonight, you're going to have a very clear understanding of what this means and what it looks like. But let's just start this thing going. So we want to shift to, God, I don't want to build my kingdom, I want to live under yours. We're not building his kingdom, we're submitting to the rule and reign of his kingdom, right? And so we want to live under his kingdom, under his kingship. And there's this tension between the two, between building our own kingdom and living under his kingdom. There's this tension. And we're going to talk about it all through tonight's message. But the point is there's this tension between those two things. And so we need to establish something from the very beginning. If there's a kingdom, stop and think about this. Now, this isn't going to be like earth-shattering for you. I just want to, let's just break this down in a way that's going to help us understand, and then we'll just start stacking blocks, okay? By definition, a kingdom has a king. Very good. Okay, that's great. You guys are tracking. You're doing great. All right, so a kingdom has a king. Where there's a king, that means someone else is in charge. You don't even need me. What am I even doing here? All right, so where there's a kingdom, there's a king. Where there's a king, that means that someone is in charge. All right? So I want to break this down in really three main points, and we'll start with this. The king has come. So he starts with your kingdom come. The king has come. And so think with me for a moment. Jesus is already king. He's already king. But this whole concept begins with recognizing the authority of the king. The kingdom is the reign of a king. The king has already come. Think about when Jesus showed up on the scene. How many times do we see over and over and over again? He said things like this. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What's he saying there? The kingdom of God is at hand. How is that? How is that true? Because Jesus is standing there. Because the king, right? A kingdom has a king. And Jesus is standing there saying, the kingdom has come because I have come. I've come. So the kingdom has arrived because the king has arrived. And so Jesus, the king, stepped into creation. And now he's saying, what I want you to do is I want you to pray, your kingdom come. And so what we're doing is acknowledging something that is already true. We're not making something true. We're stating something, acknowledging something that is already true, which is Jesus Christ is King. Okay? You with me? Sometimes, I've mentioned this before, but I feel like we need to mention it again. Sometimes we say things and we don't realize what we're communicating is communicating that something that is unbiblical. But this statement is unbiblical. And words matter. My wife tells me all the time, you get hung up on words. Yeah, but words matter. They create, you're communicating something. So when we make statements like making Jesus Lord of my life, well, we don't make Jesus Lord. Jesus simply is Lord. Okay? That's not how it works. We don't make, this is the way I thought about it today. It's as if Jesus is waiting for us to give him permission to take a position. No. Whether you submit or surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ matters nothing. Jesus Christ is still Lord. Okay? And so that's the reality of what's going on. He is Lord. And so he's not waiting on us to give him that position. Scripture doesn't present it that way. Scripture presents it, Jesus Christ is Lord. We don't make him Lord. He already is. And so our decision isn't whether he will be Lord. Our decision is whether we will submit to the lordship that already belongs to him. Let that sink in for just a minute. I'm going to let you finish writing, and then I'm going to let you just let that sink in. Our decision isn't whether he will be Lord. Our decision is whether we will submit to the lordship that already belongs to him. And so he's saying, we're praying, not my kingdom, but your kingdom. Not my rule, but your rule. Not my authority, but your authority. Not my agenda, but your agenda. Not your rule and reign. And the reality is, and this is so important for us to understand, where Jesus is acknowledged as king, the kingdom is experienced. The kingdom is manifested. The kingdom comes. Do you follow what I'm saying? Where Jesus is acknowledged as king, the kingdom comes. Okay? And so we're called to acknowledge that he's the king. And so when you think about your kingdom come, it's ultimately this. It's ultimately a prayer of surrender. So you're like, okay, well, what does it mean to pray your kingdom come? It is at the heart of it all, it is a prayer of complete and total surrender to the king. That's what it is. And so, okay, well, what does it mean to pray? Well, it means that you're submitting to the kingship of Jesus. See, there's a difference between praying, Lord, help my make my marriage better. That's a good prayer, right? I mean, we want our marriages to be good. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a difference between praying, make my marriage better, and God, bring your kingdom into my marriage. That's a very different conversation. So you're inviting the kingship of Christ to rule and reign in your marriage. That's very different than make my marriage better. Lord, help my kids to make good decisions. We've probably all prayed that in some way, shape, or form. But that's a very different prayer than, God, bring your kingdom into my family. Bring your kingdom into my family. You see the difference? And so, like, oftentimes we just get off. And so it's about bringing the kingship of Christ and his rule and reign into every area of our life. And so we're not asking God to help our lives. We're not making our plans and asking God to help our lives and then bless those things. We're asking God to take his rightful place in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our jobs, in our relationships, right? That his kingdom would come in every area of our life. And so prayer isn't simply asking God to bless what we're doing. It's asking God to establish his reign in everything that we're doing. Okay? I'm saying the same thing 100 different ways, but I just want to drive this point home as much as I can. It's not asking him to bless what we're doing. It's asking God to establish his reign in everything that we're doing. So the kingdom comes as the king is acknowledged as king. And so then the question is this: where is Jesus being recognized as king? Where is Jesus being recognized as king? Is he being recognized as king in your life? In your marriage, in your families, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your church? Where are the places that he's not being recognized as king in your life? Here's the thing. We all have them. That's why Jesus is saying, like, when you pray, you need to pray this. You need to pray this every single day, because you have two things that are competing for your heart at the same time. Your kingdom and his. And where are these things not lining up? Where are they not lining up? And so there are places, each one of us, every single person in the room, there are places for each one of us where we profess Jesus is Lord without allowing him to rule. We say with our mouth that he is Lord, but we don't allow him to rule. And it's his place to rule. And so if Jesus is king of my marriage, his kingdom is present there. If Jesus is king of my parenting or my finances or my work or my relationships, the kingdom has come in those places. See, the kingdom of God is present wherever Jesus is recognized as king. The kingdom of God is present wherever Jesus is recognized as king. Again, we don't make Jesus king. We don't give him authority. We don't do that. We're called to live under his authority, and we need to pray for that. We need to pray that we would live under the authority of Christ. Okay, number two, the king rules differently. The king rules differently. He says, you know, on heaven, in heaven, on earth as in heaven. We'll get it right here in just a second. On earth as in heaven. So that means that those two things are different. Right? The way we do things on earth is different than the way that he does things in heaven. So Jesus, he's a king that rules differently. If you think about a kingdom as fundamentally about reign and rule of the king, we need to understand that his kingdom is not built like ours. Okay? His kingdom is not built like ours. And so the question is, well, what does it look like? Where does God want his rule to be recognized? Where does God want his rule to be recognized? Everywhere? Would y'all agree with that? I mean, he wants his rule. He wants people to know him and to love him and to worship him and to submit to his rule and reign. He wants everywhere, correct? Yes, 100%, everywhere. But you know what everywhere is? Everywhere is easy and everywhere is comfortable because we can easily pray for God to rule and reign everywhere. That we can pray for God to rule and reign out there. Out there. Not in here, out there. See, that's easy to pray that way. It's easy to generalize those things. But the reality is that it starts with me. That's where kingdom reign begins. It starts in us. It begins with me. And it gets uncomfortable. It gets uncomfortable if I pray, your kingdom come, and I essentially saying that my kingdom must come to an end. That's uncomfortable. If I'm praying, your kingdom come, that means my kingdom has to come to an end. And we don't like that because we like what? Control. And so the minute you say your kingdom come, that means you're now giving control to someone else. Agreed? Is that making sense? And so that's what happens. And so, that's a hard prayer to pray, to say, hey, take over my life, take over this situation, and then God takes us somewhere we don't want to go. And look, next week we're going to get off into your will be done, but just think of it like this for our conversation tonight, that it's in the context of control. The conversation we're having is in the context of authority. We're going to get into your will be done next week, but understand that it's about him doing what he wants to do. It's his will, not ours, right? And so, again, Jesus is building a kingdom, but he builds it differently than we would. Scripture teaches that Jesus himself is the clearest picture of who God is and what the kingdom is like. If you think about Colossians 1:15, the Bible says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus himself is the clearest picture. So we want to know, well, what does it look like? All right, we understand that we're having a conversation about submission, the kingship of Christ. But what does the kingdom look like? What does it mean? Well, the clearest picture, because Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand. What is he referring to? Himself. And so if we want to know what the kingdom of God at hand looks like, your kingdom come, then what should we look? Where should we look? The thing that makes most sense is that we would look to Christ, right? And so when Jesus walked towards the hurting, the kingdom was coming. When Jesus welcomed sinners, The kingdom was coming. When Jesus confronted hypocrisy, the kingdom was coming. When Jesus forgave, not just anybody, when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," as he was being crucified, the kingdom was coming. When Jesus served, when Jesus went up in the upper room and he got down and he washed his disciples' feet, the kingdom was coming. When Jesus loved in a way that was sacrificial, when he allowed himself to be poured out for the sake of others, not just any ordinary love, we're talking about bold, crazy, indescribable love. The kingdom was coming. And so we look at Christ and we see the way he lived and the things that he did, and we realize, okay, well, he doesn't build his kingdom like... When Jesus, the king, rides in on a donkey, the kingdom was coming. He didn't do anything like we would expect him to do. That's my whole point. It's like, you think, okay, well, what does it look like? Well, it doesn't look like anything that we would think or expect. When he was restoring, when he was healing people, when he was laying his hands on lepers, the kingdom of God was coming. When he was giving sight to the blind, the kingdom of God was coming. When he would say to people, "Hey, look, I forgive your sins. You are forgiven of your sins," the kingdom of God was coming. And so we look at Christ and we see that he's demonstrating what his kingdom is like. And once again, there's tension because we have his kingdom and our kingdom. And so because of that, you cannot fully submit to the king while insisting on maintaining control of the kingdom. Because let's just stop and think about it. We want power. We want power. Jesus demonstrated servanthood. We want comfort. Jesus embraced sacrifice. We want recognition. Jesus takes the lowest place. Stop and think about it. We want to destroy our enemies. We want revenge, man. We want to make them pay. It's not right. They deserve... He tells us to love them. He tells us to pray for them. You see what I'm saying? We want to preserve our own lives, and he laid his down. You see how polar opposite it is? It's completely and totally opposite. And so praying your kingdom means surrendering not only control of our lives, but also our expectations of how God should rule them. So it's not just about surrendering control, but also the expectations of how we think. Okay, we're going to hand over control to you, but only if you do it the way that we think you should. Right? And then when things don't go the way we think they should, then we get all bent out of shape. And so we don't mind Jesus as king as long as the kingdom looks the way we think it should. As long as things are going the way that we think they should. We want control. We want control. We want to know what's going to happen. We want certainty, don't we? We don't like surprises. We don't like being caught off guard. We don't like any of those things. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to be able to make the decisions because we know what's best. At least we think we do. And the list just goes on and on and on. So we determine the direction of our lives. We want that. We want to determine the direction of our lives. We want to protect the people that we love. Are those bad things? It's not necessarily something that's bad. We want to have a plan. And if we're honest, we prefer God to work according to our plan. But who's the king in the kingdom? Right? And so again, there's these two things that are just at war. They're competing in our lives. And God is calling us to surrender to something greater, to surrender to someone greater. So it's your kingdom come, not my kingdom. And the reality is he's still a king that's building a kingdom contrary to how we build ours. And so it's more than just saying, think of it like this. It's more than just saying, you can be in charge. It's saying, God, you can be in charge even when you don't do things the way I want. Those are two different things. You can be in charge versus you can be in charge even when you don't do things the way that I want. And so God calls us to bring the kingdom that we forgive instead of retaliating. We serve instead of being served. We give instead of accumulating. We love instead of hating. We're called to become last instead of first. We're called to take up our cross instead of comfort. Jesus himself is the clearest picture of what we're praying for. And then we get to number three. The king reigns completely. As it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. Let's remember that Jesus has come, but he's coming again, okay? Right? We can agree with that? All right? So he's come, but the kingdom has come, but it hasn't come in its fullness. Why? Well, because there's these two competing things. We know that the kingdom hasn't come in fullness because we still have our flesh, and the spirit and the flesh are at war with one another. And they're contrary to one another. The same way his kingdom and our kingdom are contrary to one another. So the kingdom has come, but not in its fullness. Jesus is going to return one day. He's going to establish his kingdom completely. But in the meantime, we live in the between. In the between of the king coming and the king returning. And in the middle of there, in the in-between, we live in that, what's often called the already not yet. It's like the kingdom has already come, but it hasn't come in its fullness. And so he's going to return. He's established, and we've established this whole idea that there's this tension that takes place between his kingdom and my kingdom. But here's what I want us to stop and think about for just a minute. We know that this tension exists here and now. Would we all agree that every single one of us, that this tension is true in every single one of our lives? It's 100% true. You know where this tension does not exist? Where does it not exist? Heaven. There's no competing kingdoms in heaven. And so what does he say? On earth as it is in heaven. Which is interesting to me. And I think this is where it gets a little bit personal. What's true in heaven? What is taking place right now in heaven? Worship? I can tell you what's not happening right now. Nobody in heaven is trying to build their own kingdom. Nobody in heaven, right now, we're meeting at whatever, 7:12 on a Wednesday night in South Mississippi. You know what? There are some competing kingdoms going on in your mind right now in this place. But you know what is not taking place in heaven right now in this very moment? Nobody in heaven is trying to build their own kingdom. Absolutely nobody. Nobody is questioning God's authority. Stop and think about it, because Jesus is he's very intentional about what he says and how he says it and why he says it. He says, as it is in heaven. And so nobody is questioning God's authority in heaven. Nobody's negotiating terms about God's authority in this very moment in heaven. There's no competition between his kingdom and my kingdom. So what is true in heaven right now? Just stop and think about it. What is true in heaven right now? The king is reigning completely. 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 And so what is it that God wants for us in our lives? To reign completely. To submit to and surrender to the kingship of Christ. Where? In every area of our life. In every area of our life. Nobody in heaven right now is trying to build their own kingdom. Heaven is the place where the king's authority is completely recognized. I think I missed that on the screen here, so it should be on your handout, I believe. Heaven is the place where the king's authority is completely recognized. Stop and just think. What we do, we like to profess and confess Christ is Lord, and then again go off building our own little kingdoms. But we'll say, hey, I'll obey this command because I agree with you in this area, and then we hold on to this thing over here. We choose disobedience in this area of our life because we hold this thing for whatever reason. I mean, there's lots of different reasons why we do this, but maybe it's an idol in our life. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know the reason why, but the point is that we'll obey this command, but we'll hold on to this over here. There are absolutely no competing kingdoms in heaven. So what is it that we are praying? We're praying, Lord, let the reality of heaven become increasingly true on earth. And where do we want to start? With me. With me. So let the reality of heaven, because what is taking place in heaven? Christ is reigning and ruling supremely. So we want that to become increasingly true on earth. But look, it's easy to pray that for earth and for the world, but where do we begin? We begin with us. That's where we have to start. It starts with us. We want a world where God is recognized and where God is worshiped, where God is welcomed as king, and it has to start with us. See, we're called, just stop and think about it. Just play this thing out. We're called to live as citizens of the kingdom, are we not? We are called to live as citizens of the kingdom. That means what is true there, what is true where? In the kingdom, in the heaven, is meant to be true for us here and now. And we've established that Christ is ruling and reigning supremely and completely. And so that means that that's what he wants now. And so before we can pray for God's kingdom to come into our community, we've got to pray, God, let your kingdom come in me. And then as citizens of the kingdom, you know what happens? When God's kingdom comes in us, you know what happens? As we go out into the community, what happens? If the kingdom comes in us and we are citizens of the kingdom, then as we step out into the kingdom and into the community and into the world, what happens? The kingdom comes. Wherever we go, the kingdom goes. And so if we just start submitting and surrendering to the kingship of Christ in our own life, personally and specifically, the kingdom comes in us, and then the kingdom comes to the world around us. Right? And so, look, it's so easy to pray it for the world, but like it will go to the world if it comes to us. Right? And so we need to understand that. We need to understand it. And so what is it? What does it look like for us to live completely under the reign of the King who has come? What does that look like? I just want to get specific as we end our time together. I just want you to think about where there is rebellion in your life. If there's somewhere where there's rebellion in their life, what is bringing the kingdom coming? The kingdom coming means bringing submission into the place where there's rebellion. Submission. Where there's self-rule, surrender. Wherever there's a competing authority, we establish the king's authority. We submit and surrender to his authority. Again, I know I've said 1,000 times that there are two competing things going on here. His kingdom and our kingdom. But it is so true. And it is so easy to get off track. And that's why Jesus is saying here, right at the beginning of this prayer, when he's teaching us to pray, he's like, you got to be reminded. You got to continually go back to the Word of God. You've got to be reminded of the King that we serve. You need to go to the Scriptures, and you need to look how Jesus responds and the things that he does and the way that he loves and the way that he sacrifices himself and the way that he serves people and the way that he, right? All the things that Christ does, because you're naturally going to want to build your kingdom contrary to that. And so every day we need to come to the King and say, not my kingdom, but yours. You're the King. I'm not the King. I like to play the King, but I'm not the King. Lord, remind me who the King is. Every single day. Because we get up and we think we're in control, and we go about our day as if we're in control. And then we pray that God would bless our things that we do. And he's saying, no. That's not how this works. I'm the King. And the thing is we're really terrible at being kings. We're really terrible at being kings. Like, when we rule and reign our own life, trouble. Trouble. Every time, it's trouble. And so we've got to come back to this, and we've got to be reminded, it's your kingdom come, it's not mine. It's not mine. And so that's why Jesus includes this right at the beginning of this prayer, because there are these two competing, and it's competing for our hearts. And what is God interested in? He's interested in our heart. He's interested in our heart. He wants us to come to him, not just for what he can do for us, but just because of who he is. Just because of who he is. And that we're transformed. I mean, I don't know how many times, countless, I can't begin to count how many times, time and time and time again, God has transformed my heart through prayer. When I have a problem or an issue and I want to build my kingdom and respond a certain way, the only thing I know to do is, God, your kingdom come. And it may take months for his kingdom to come in that area in my life, but I'm constantly praying, your kingdom come. Help me to see this person the way that you see them. Help me to love this person the way that you love them. Help me to extend grace to this person the way you've extended grace to me. Help me to bring your kingdom into this situation, because right now I want to blow them up. But it's true. And so just practically, in so many just practical ways, it's about inviting his kingdom and his kingdom reign and his kingdom rule, because the reality is we rule a different way. And so we look to the King to rule and to reign. And the good news is, Jesus doesn't ask us to make him king. He already is. The kingdom has come. He stepped into our world. He told us to look at him. He gave us the example of what it looks like for the kingdom to come. Like, he did it. And one day he's coming again. And when he returns, there will no longer be any competing kingdoms. There will no longer be any competing kingdoms. You know, one of the things that I look forward to most in that moment is the fact that there will no longer be any competing kingdoms. Because the reality is like, I long for the day when I stop being so stupid and building my own kingdom. Like, I can't wait for the day. Like, in heaven right now, there's no competing kingdoms. Nobody's questioning God's authority. Nobody's trying to do things their own way. None of that's going on. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for the moments where I no longer feel like I've disappointed my Heavenly Father, where I feel like I've let him down. And I long for the day when that's no longer the case. And he's coming back, and there's coming a time where there will be no more competing kingdoms. In Philippians 2, the Bible says this, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And on that day, kingdom Jesus will come, the kingdom will come in its fullness. And so, as we close our time together tonight, just a few things for us to think about. Just a few things for us to think about. Is Jesus King? Yes. We've established that. That's not a question we need to answer, all right? So Jesus is King. That's not the question we need to answer. The question we need to answer is, well, first of all, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's the first question. Have you surrendered your life to Christ as King? That's the first place we start. If you're a child of God here tonight, if you're a believer, then the question is, am I living as if Jesus is King? Am I living as if Jesus is King? Am I living as if Jesus is King? You think about whatever it is. You think about your life and all the things you have going on. Are you living as if Jesus is King here, specifically in this area of your life? Are you living as if Jesus is King in your marriage? Are you living as if Jesus is King in your family? Are you living as if Jesus is King in your community? Are you living as if Jesus is King in your church? Are you living as if Jesus is King in your relationships? Are you living as if Jesus is King in your schedules? Are you living as if Jesus is King? We just continue, like, fill in the blank. Like, are you living as if He's King? I was having a conversation with a couple this week, and just thinking about the question. It's like, okay, is He King in me? Or think about this, is He King in my marriage? I was having a conversation, and we were just talking about, it was premarital counseling, and we were having the conversation. It's like, okay, well, a lot of people approach marriage really from two standpoints. One, they approach it from, they think marriage exists to make me happy, or marriage exists to make my spouse happy, right? So stop and think about those. Now, if somebody thinks that marriage exists or your spouse exists to serve you and to make you happy, Christ is not King in your marriage. Your spouse does not exist to serve you or to make you happy. That is not why they exist. You are making yourself King. You're making yourself King. The flip side, it sounds better than that one, because everybody's like, that sounds terrible. That sounds terrible. Some people in the room are like, unfortunately, sadly, you're like, that's my spouse. And that's sad. And that should not be the case. Christ is not King in your marriage, if that's true. The flip side, which sounds better, is my spouse, I exist to make my spouse happy. Like, my goal in marriage is to please my spouse, to make my spouse happy, to make my wife happy. That sounds better than the first one. Can we agree? Is that the goal? No, because who's King in that situation? She is, or he is, your spouse is, right? What you're doing is you're making them the King. Who are we trying to make happy in our marriages? Jesus. Jesus. Is Jesus King of your marriage? Your marriage does not exist to make you happy. Your marriage does not exist to make your spouse happy. If you seek to make God happy and to please Him in your marriage, you know what happens? Everybody flourishes. Everybody flourishes. The kingdom comes. Because Jesus is King and sitting on the throne, and we're submitting to and surrendering through the ruling and reigning in the kingship of Jesus Christ. Our goal is to please Him. And that makes me a better husband. And it makes my wife a better wife. And that's just how it works. I mean, we can do this all day. We can just go from one to the next. What about our kids? What about our kids? Is your goal to make your kids happy? We say no. We say no, but our lives revolve around what makes our kids happy. Stop and think about it. Your world revolves around what makes your kids happy. King kids. That's what we got. King kids. The kingdom of kids has come. That's what it is. That's what it is. What is our goal? What is our goal with having kids? Every time we do child dedication, and we'll be doing it again next month, and we'll sit in this room, and I'll ask all the parents, and I'll say, why did you have children? Why did you have children? Most people have kids. Why? To make me happy. To make me happy. Because I want to have kids. I want to, and then you have them, you're like, well, this ain't making me happy. But honestly, why do we have kids? Because we're trying to build our own little kingdom. The king has come. It's his kingdom. And so we're praying that the kingdom would come. My goal is not for me to be happy. My goal is not for my kids to be happy. My goal is for Christ to be exalted. For God to be happy, that my life would, and again, we can just go down the line. I mean, we can go through every single example that we've talked about. I'll spare you that just for the sake of time. But that's what God is talking about here, that the kingdom of God would come, that he would be king in my marriage, that he would be king in my family. We want to get off in finances? Nope, we don't want to do that. Look, I'm going to spare you all that. I'm not even going to do it. You can play it out in your mind. Who's king of your finances? Who's king of your finances? Has the kingdom of God come in the area of your finances? Has the kingdom of God come in your plans? Has the kingdom of God come in how you define success? Has it come in the way that you pursue things in life? Has it come in your ambitions? Has the kingdom of God come in your relationships? Has the kingdom of God come in your job? Has the kingdom of God come in your decisions? Has the kingdom of God come in your future? I mean, just stop and stop and think and ask these questions. And let me just be clear. This is another way for us to leave here feeling guilty and shameful for all the ways that we're not. Hey, look, we're all in the same boat here. The reason why Jesus says pray this is because we need help in this area. There's not a single person in the room that isn't building their own little kingdom in some sort of way. And so we just want to grow. We want to continue to submit and surrender to the kingship of Christ in our life. And so whatever it is, and maybe you got a whole list of things, just start with the biggest one and start with that one. Just start there. Just start somewhere and submit and surrender that to the reign and rule of Christ. And walk faithfully in that area. And then move on to the next one. As he reveals and exposes the areas in our lives, then we submit and surrender that in that way. All right? See, we don't often struggle to believe that Jesus is king. We struggle to surrender our kingdoms to him. I told you, I was just going to say it in like 100 different ways. You feel like you got a pretty good understanding of what it means for the kingdom of God to come in our lives and what it means to pray in that way? It's about Jesus' kingdom coming. Coming in me, coming in my home, coming in my church, coming in my workplace, coming in my community. And longing for and looking for the day that finally comes in fullness. So the last blank on your handout is this. The king has come. The king is coming. So until he comes, let's pray and live as if he's king. As if he's king. And let me say this as we wrap up our time. It's so important because we're really, really good at convincing ourselves that this is what we're doing. Not some version of the king that we've created. Not some version of the king. The king that we see in Scripture. The king that heaven doesn't have a single question about his authority in this very moment. That king. Jesus, the crucified, the risen, the servant king. And not our version of what the king looks like and not our version of what following looks like. But what the Bible defines. That we submit to him as king. That our response to who he is to give him complete and total reign in our lives. That's the natural response. And so just take a step tonight. Here's what I want to do. I'm gonna ask you to bow your head. And typically in this moment, I would pray and we would be dismissed. And I will pray here in just a couple minutes. But I want to give you a moment right where you are to spend some time. Guess what you've got right now? Access to the Father. And he has exposed some things in your heart. He has exposed some areas of your life where you're building your own kingdom. And you know that you need to get in line with his kingdom. And so I don't want to pray. You have access to the Father. And so let's just take a minute right where you are. Spend some time with your Heavenly Father. And then I'll pray and we'll be done. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for being such a good king. You're not safe, but you're good. God, help us to respond. Help us to live lives of submission and surrender. God, may the kingdom come in our lives so that we might then bring the kingdom into the world around us. I pray that you just continue to expose areas in our lives where we're building our own little kingdom. We're just grasping and trying to hold on to control. And we would relinquish. We would give it to you. We would choose your way over ours. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Christ, who showed us what it looks like, what your kingdom looks like. We serve a king who isn't asking anything of us that he wasn't willing to do. That doesn't make any sense. Lord, help us to be more like him. It's in his name we pray. Amen. I love you. Have a wonderful evening.